morning. Welcome here.
Thank you. I love to tell a story. Did you notice the music on that? Huh? That was Shelley Hamilton redid that. So if you are trying to follow the notes as you were singing that song, it was completely different. Okay, so that's one of the things about the Majesty Hymnal, okay, that you have. And I know that because our church, Marsh Creek Fellowship Baptist Church, has the same hymnal. And you think you're singing a song that you know the tune, and all of a sudden it's some completely different tune, but the words are the same. Okay, so that was, did you notice that, Mark? Did you notice that? You didn't even notice it. You're just singing the words. That's what I was. Well, it's good to be with you guys this morning. I trust that your pastor had a good vacation. I understand today is his nephew is preaching or something, and he wanted to go down to hear his first sermon. Where is he?
Downstate somewhere.
So that's all you know. Pastor's in Pennsylvania anyway, right? So we know that. Okay. Well, that's good for that. You know. I'm sorry for all the tech glitches that is happening here today. We don't know why. We don't know what happened. Who knows? Okay. But we're here. The Lord's here. The Word's here. Hey, what more could we want? What more could we want, eh? Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we do want to thank you for this time that you've allowed us to gather together. Father, we think of us meeting here and gathering around the Word. The song that we just sang, I love to tell the story, a great, great, great song. And Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that was written for us. And it is applicable for today. Lord, we do want to pray for Pastor Hagee as he is away traveling and fellowshipping with his nephew. And in the first message that his nephew will be preaching, Lord, may it go powerful, may it go well. And Lord, we just pray for the time there. Father, we do pray for the needs here of the church. We saw things that were listed, upcoming events, the missionaries, Lord, and their needs, Father. We know that the Hazas, they were there. We know that Leandra is going to be going for a scope here pretty soon here as a result of her recent meeting with the doctor this week, Lord, and we just pray for your guidance and your direction there to be able to figure out the what's going on, what's happening. Possibly parasites is what they said, so we'll see how it goes. Father, we just praise you. We thank you for the freedom that we have to worship here. God, we're just so thankful for this. God, your blessings upon our time, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. For those of you that might have been praying for my wife, I do thank you. She is doing much better. She's a month out now from her open heart surgery, and she's walking much better. Swelling in her legs is a problem. I don't know if any of you have had this type of surgery, but I guess it's pretty common for your legs to be quite swollen. And unfortunately, every morning I get the unthankful job putting on those crummy, well, you're shaking your head up and down, huh? What am I going to say? Those stupid, crummy, white compression stockings. Oh, what a chore. You know, I think I sweat more putting them on her than she does, you know, at the end. So I'm just praying, Lord, please, take that swelling down, not only for her, but give me a break, you know. So that's what, but anyway, thank you for that, okay. This morning here, I'd like if you would turn in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 4. And it is amazing to me. I better put this thing on. There it is. I had to put my iPad here on. Never turn off because it turned off on me. I'm going to speak to you this morning about witnessing. And it's kind of wonderful because what song did Bill pick this morning to sing? Huh? I love the what? Tell the story. Why did he pick that? Because everything else got messed up, right? Okay. And everything got messed up, so the Lord impressed upon his mind to pick a song, I Love to Tell the Story, which is about witnessing, isn't it? It's amazing sometimes to me how things just sort of dovetail in there, okay? And everything was just go together. But in Matthew chapter 4, if you're there, this is the beginning. I want you to turn to verse 18 of Matthew chapter 4. And it's written here, this is Christ now, and he's walking. It says, and Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. And they're casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Now, he didn't say, hey, guys, get over here. He called them with the same call that he called the other two previous. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's what he called them to do, too. And what was their response? They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now Christ is here at the beginning of his ministry, and he's going to find his disciples, okay, that he wants, that are going to follow him. Now, notice that he did not go into town, into the synagogue, to walk around there and look for some righteous people, did he? He went walking by the seashore, and he was looking down there at the docks and the fishermen for some common, ordinary men. Men who we would call fishermen today. Okay? And this is what he says. He calls it. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you witnesses. I will make you someone that will go out to tell the story of Jesus Christ. And at the end of Matthew, the last chapter in Matthew, Matthew writes to us of what Christ said there in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Do you remember what that is called? Those particular verses, you want to turn to, that is called the Great Commission that was given unto who? You? Me? That guy next to you? Yeah? The lady behind you? Yeah? Everyone. Who? Everyone. Everybody, right? Christ gave this to everybody. He says here in that particular verse, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All the power is mine. Then he says, go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He started his ministry there with those four fishermen, and he was going to be with them the whole time as they were going out witnessing and talking about it. He ends here by telling us to go out and teach the world and preach the gospel, and he's going to be with us the whole time. Christ is consistent. And I know that you know as well as I do that in our world today, we have a tremendous spiritual problem. The problem with our nation, the problem with the world, is they don't know God. Well, they might know of a God, but they do not know God. And the only way that we're going to know God is through the witness of you and I. And what I want to talk about here is these fishermen, okay, and fishing. How many of you like to go fishing? Huh? Yeah. How many of you know of a fisherman? Huh? You know fishing, okay? And what I like to think here is, as I look at this, I think, you know, Christ picked these guys for certain reasons. There has to be something about fishermen that go along with witnessing. And I've come up with some things here that I'd like us to look at, okay, about a fisherman. And it's not in any particular order, but it's some of the attributes of somebody who is a fisherman for, like, fish we eat. And then we will relate these things to fishermen for, you know, witnessing. One of the things I'd like us to think about is this, is that a fisherman or somebody who likes to go fishing, I don't care if you're a bass fisherman, bluegill fisherman, striped bass fisherman, trout fisherman, fly fisherman, casting fisherman, I don't, whatever kind. But a fisherman has a great desire and love for fishing, okay? They love to do it. They want to do it. It's part of their makeup, okay? They think about fishing. I know there's times come in May, okay? And in May, I'm an avid fly fisherman, okay? I love to fly fish. And in May, if any of you are fly fishermen, you know that that's when the best hatches are coming off the creeks, okay? And I like to go down there to catch fish. And I can tell you, at work, the whole day, you know what the desire in my heart is that day? I guarantee you, it's not to the kids that I'm sitting there teaching, okay? They're there. It's not to my fellow workers who I'm intermingling with. Yeah, they're there. But you know what my love, my desire that particular day is? Is for when 3 o'clock comes, I can get out of that door, I can get in my car, which is already loaded with all my fishing stuff, and bam, I'm down to the creek fishing. Okay. That's a desire. I love to catch fish. But do I have that desire when it comes to witnessing? Do I have that desire, that great love? Do I want to go home because I know I get home at the same time that my neighbor gets home from work, and we usually connect with each other at the mailbox? Do I want to try to get home at that time so that I could talk to him about Christ or mention something or be a witness, you see? Is that desire in my heart? You know, in the book of Jeremiah, if you want to turn to there, Jeremiah was an interesting fellow. I love to read about Jeremiah. But he was preaching and he was witnessing and he was talking about Christ to the Lord, to the people there. And he made this statement in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. He says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." In other words, he says, I'm not going to talk to you guys about Christ. I'm not going to wish you. So I don't want it to be there. It's like me saying, I don't want to go fishing in May. I'm not going to do it. But notice what his reaction was once he said that. Huh? He says here, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. You know what it says there? He says that word, that desire was so deep within him. He has such a love to tell the word of God, to share the word of God, that even when he tried not to, he couldn't because it was burning within him. That was his great desire. Now, I'm not saying here that every word we speak has to be, you know, witnessing or talking. We do have to be sensitive and look at things. But what it means is that we should have that desire to witness, to share the word of God. Okay. I firmly believe and I hope so that this recent assassination of attempt of Donald Trump was just a wake-up call for Donald Trump to understand that he needs the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I'm hoping that somebody out there is going to be bold enough to witness to him and that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God would shake him up and save him. You see, somebody has to do that. Somebody has to do it to your neighbor. Somebody has to do it to your coworkers, your classmates, whatever. But do you have that great desire to do it? Now, if you knew another thing about a fisher person, I should say fisher person because I say fisherman, man, and in our society, that's not woke enough, I guess, okay? But I will say fisher person, that may include men and women, okay? But anyway, another thing about a fisher person is that they are willing to spend long hours when it comes to witnessing. They're willing to spend hours doing it. The men that walk with Christ as disciples on earth, they spent hours doing that. They were with him. Now, a fisher person is willing to spend, sometimes from sun up till sundown, they'll go fishing. I know last weekend, my son-in-laws went fishing. They were up at the house, okay? My one son-in-law came down up from Altoona, and my other one lives here, came down. They went fishing about 6 o'clock in the morning. And by 7 o'clock at night, I can tell that both my daughters at that point were extremely ticked off at their husbands because they hadn't heard from them. They had no clue where they were. Okay, dinner was already gone. And I just, you know, it's just the way it is. But they were, why? Because they were fishing. They were willing to do that. Okay, And I want you to think of the Apostle Paul, because he wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3:8, but he's writing to the Thessalonians. He was telling them about how he does. And he says, but I worked with you guys in labor and travail night and day. Paul, in his ministry, was willing to work whatever it was, whatever it took, but he was willing to work and to witness to them. You know, I'm thinking, I can remember, and I'm ashamed to remember some of the things that I remember. I wish I could forget them. But I can remember when I was living in Pittsburgh, and I was like 17 years old, and pastor wanted us to go witnessing for him, you know, with him. You know, at that point, you could do door-to-door evangelism. You could knock on a neighbor's door, and they would come and talk to you. You do that now, knock on a neighbor's door, they're going to come and shoot you, okay? But nonetheless, we did that, and he says, and I says, well, how long are we going to be? because it wasn't a love and a desire in my heart at that time. And he says, well, we'll meet at the church around about 6:30. We should have been about 9:30 or 10, you know. You know what I said? 9:30 or 10. I said, what about 7:30? You know, I just wasn't willing to give all that time. You see, but as a witness, as you witness more and more, you become, you learn that you're willing to give more and more time. A fisherman also is continually studying to improve his skills and his success. In my house, and it might be some of you, it can be even for something else, hunting or sewing or knitting or whatever. But in my house, you know, I have a couple stacks of magazines, and they're all on fishing or hunting. Why do I buy them? Because I like to study, I like to learn, I want to know more about it. I just want to do those things and understand those things. It gets me irritated when I have to go to a... I'll be taking my wife to a doctor's office this coming Tuesday, and we're going to have to sit there for half an hour, 45 minutes of waiting, and I look through the magazines. And you know what magazines I find? Huh? Yeah, it ain't, People Magazine. Who cares about People Magazine, you know, or Good Housekeeping or whatever? Okay, I want to read something that I can study that can improve me. I even find myself in the evening sitting at home there, and my wife's trying to talk to me, and I'm watching a YouTube video on fishing. Boy, does that irritate her. Okay. But nonetheless, I want to study. I want to improve. I want to get better at what I'm doing. Now, how does that relate to making you fishers of men? Can you see a connection here? Do we study? You know, the scriptures tell us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we are to what? Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to witness, if you want to rightly divide the word of truth to the person whom you're dealing with, and I don't know who you're praying for, I don't know who you've been trying to witness to, family member, neighbor, whatever. If you want to rightly divide that word of truth to that person, you have to do what? You have to study, and you have to know the Word of God. Because I guarantee you that whoever you're witnessing to is going to ask you a question by, well, what does that mean? Or how does this happen? Or explain that to me. And you're going to have to know to be able to give them an answer. God will help me with that. But how do we study? Are we studying the Word of God right now? Sure we are. We're in church. Okay? How often does church gather together? You could be there. How else do we study? In our devotions. Okay? How else do we study? In our whatever we get. I was just reading this morning. Every Sunday morning, Answers in Genesis comes out with a new... There's a whole new thing about what's going on in the world today. And I was just reading in there and studying about things that are going on and how to be a better witness. You can study in many different ways, many different forms. How about you reading the Bible? You know, all those things we could use to study the Word of God. So we know that a fisherman has a great love for fishing, a great love for witnessing. The fisher person is willing to spend long hours in the going to connect with men. The fisher person is continually trying to improve his skills. okay, and understanding of what he's doing to study. And another thing that a person does, a fisher person does, is using the best method that is possible. You want to know what you're doing. You know, when I want to go trout fishing and they're hitting flies and they're eating insects that are coming either off the ground or landing or whatever, that's what I want to go catching them. That's what I take it. Do you think I'm going to take a 3-inch bass plug and throw it at them? Would that be the best method to catch that fish? Huh? No. But you got to know these different things. Fishermen have the different gear, the latest thing, whatever, to catch, to whatever. You know, I was thinking about studying this today, and I in my back room where I have my study, it's like my, all the deer heads are there, the fish, the turkey things, everything else. And I'm looking around the room there. You know, I have so much gear laying there. I have stuff there that's still in the box. It hasn't been opened. Because I happened to see that, and I says, boy, I better buy this because it probably will make me to be a better fisherman. It even opened. Okay, I end up giving it away to my grandkids or children. You know, but if that's what a person is, you have to be sensitive to the one you're going to reach. You have to know who you're dealing with, who you're talking to, okay, is what we want to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to turn there. And this is Paul. This was Paul's attitude. This is how he conducted his life in reaching those around about him. In chapter 19 of 1 Corinthians, verse 19 of chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." So he became a servant to reach men for Christ. And unto the Jews, he became as a what? A Jew. That he might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, he became as what? Under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without the law. That is Jews and Gentiles we're talking about here right now. Okay. He says, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law, that I might witness to them, that I might get the gospel to them. He says, to the weak became I as weak. Now, this is not weak in strength. This is just, you know, you hate to say it, but they're your common, ordinary person, you know. He wanted to talk to them in that language, not as one who's highfalutin, okay? Just talk. He became weak, okay? He says, I am made all things to all men. Why? That I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. You see, Paul was sensitive to who he was talking to. He was sensitive to that person. He was understanding of who they are, where they are, what they came from, and he went down and got to their level. Okay? If he were to interact with a child, you know what he would talk to that child like? In childlike terms about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? I don't think he would go up to that child and say, well, okay, in your unrighteousness and in your, you know, the way you're living now, you're just, you know, whatever and ever. He would just talk to them as a child. Use that best method that is there, okay? A fisherman, and even those people that he called there at the Sea of Galilee, they are willing to go fishing no matter what the circumstances are, okay? The adverse circumstance is fine. If you love what you're doing, you have a desire for it, you're going to do it. I was watching. How many of you go golfing? How many of you golf? Anybody, any golfers in here? I see that this is not going to go over good. Okay. Okay. All right. Anyway, I was watching the British Open yesterday. I do like to golf. I'm not an avid golfer. But I was watching those guys, and they're playing over in the west coast of Scotland, okay, the northern part of Scotland, okay, and they're playing golf. And the wind is probably blowing, I saw it anywhere between 25 to 45 mile an hour. The rain is coming down sideways, okay. It is freezing cold, and guess what they're doing? Huh? They're playing golf because they love the game. You know what I would be doing if it was like that? Huh? I would be sitting in the house watching an idiot play golf like that, you know. But nonetheless, even with fishing, okay, how many of you go ice fishing? Huh? No ice fishermen here? You like to go ice fishing? Good for you. You have fun with that? Does it get cold? Huh? You ever fall in? Oh,
yes.
Yeah, it happens, yeah. But you go ice fishing. I went ice fishing with my son-in-law once. He introduced me to ice fishing. He says, well, we'll go out at night. I says, okay, we'll go out at night, okay. So we go out ice fishing, and it's snowing. And we go out on this ice, and it's freezing. And we're sitting there on these little 5-gallon buckets turned upside down over a little hole that is this big with a little strainer scooper trying to keep the ice from forming. And you're sitting there, you're sitting there going, doo, 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 doo. He says, isn't this fun? I said, when are we going? You know. But anything, rain, snow. A fishing guy, they're going to go fishing, okay? You know, remember when I told you I would be sitting there in May thinking about going fishing all day, and at 3 o'clock I come out, and what if it started to rain, thunderstorm, what do you think I did? Huh? I went fishing anyway, okay? Doesn't stop you. Think about that with witnessing. You know, every once in a while, my pastor will call up and will say, hey, can you come with me tonight? We want to go over to so-and-so's person's house and talk to them about the Lord, see if we can get him, you know. If that's ever happened to you, it's a wonderful experience. But, you know, what if he calls me up and he does that and, man, it's snowing and it's dark and it's cold and it's slippery and it's wet and I know I'm going to be there for a while and I just got off work and I'm tired. You think that would stop me from going regular fishing? It shouldn't stop me from doing that, you know. I know some people in our church, and I'm kind of forthright with them at some times. They say that they don't come to evening church because it gets too dark when they get out. And I'm there. These are the same people I see uptown on Friday night going to dinner at the same time, you know, or they're going up to the mall and coming back. And I point that out to them, you know. And I tell my kids too. I said, you know, you would go do this no matter what, and you got it. But yet you're not willing to do something for the Lord, to go witnessing, to talk to somebody or whatever. Adverse circumstances, folks. You know, we still need the witness. We still need the witness. Okay. You have to be sensitive, as we said again, to where the fish are biting. I know when I go fly fishing, if I don't catch anything in this particular area, okay, I'll go to the next bend, okay? But I'll remember that area next time because I won't go there again. I'll know that there's no fish there. And after a while, as a fisherman, you begin to know and recognize where they are going to be and where they aren't going to be. And the same thing it is with as a witness when you're telling the story of Jesus Christ, okay? You know where to talk to and where not to talk to, okay? You got to be sensitive. When I'm at work and we're talking about how to handle some of the discipline problems of the young people that we're dealing with the staff, is that the right time to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, do you think? Is that the right time to say, well, what we need to do is get these young kids, they're a bunch of sinners, they need to be saved? That's true, but is that the right place? No. Now, if I'm sitting in the break room and somebody comes in and we begin talking about things, and then that's a good place to be able to witness and bring up some situations. Because a lot of times a teacher will come into the break room there and they're talking about it, and you'll say, you know what's wrong with our kids today? Parents. Well, parents have had kids for years, you know. And I says, no, I disagree with you. I don't think the problem with our kids today is parents. I think the problem with our kids today is that they have unsaved parents. It's a spiritual problem. We do everything to try to reach every other need of these kids, their emotional needs, their physical needs, their academic needs. We try to reach every one of those, but the one need that they never even think about is the spiritual need. And that's what needs to be done. And at those points, then I can witness. But there are times when you should do it, times when you should not do it. Okay, you have to be sensitive to witnessing, because I guarantee you, if you do it at a time when it's not appropriate, you know what you're going to do to that person? You're just going to push them further away from Christ. Okay, so you have to be doing that. Okay, and then another thing that fishermen like to do is they like to have companions. Now, fishing alone. Most of the time when I drive by Lake Nesmith. You know where Lake Nesmith is there on 287? Okay. My daughter works in grandson work there at Harbor Counseling. Okay, and I drive up there to see him at times. And every time I drive by Nesmith, I will see boats out and about on their fishing. You know, just about 90% of the time, I always see two people in the boat. Because it's fun to go fishing with somebody else. It's companionship. And when I go trout fishing, okay, a lot of times me and my buddy will be trout fishing. We might not be anywhere near each other. You know, when we go trout fishing in a stream, I always tell that person I'm going with, your choice first. You want to go upstream or you want to go downstream? Okay. Says, I don't care which way you go, but whichever way you go, I'm going the opposite way. Because I don't like to fish over the same waters that he fished over. Okay, but you know what? I'm still with him. We connect with each other at lunch, or we connect with each other later on. It's fun to go fishing with someone. Well, you know, when you go witnessing, you know that you are always going witnessing with somebody else. You always are. Didn't Jesus Christ say that I will be with you always, even unto the ends of the earth? Whenever you go. Now, it is fun to go witnessing with another human person. Okay, a lot of times when we would go out, you know, in twos. That's why Christ said, go out two by two by two, go out in twos. Because, you know, it's easier that way. You get to lift each other up. Maybe what what I forgot, this person will remember, or vice versa, as you're witnessing, as you're telling the story, as the song we sang. Okay, this is what needs to be done. Okay, it's great. Matthew 28:20, we read that earlier, said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Willingness to go fishing, anytime, anywhere. We're going to leave here in a few minutes, and we're going to go out into the world. Are you willing to go out as a fisher of men, as Christ said? Are you willing to leave here and go out with a sensitivity to those you're going to come in contact with who might need the word of God and be able to speak unto them concerning it? Are you willing to do this? Now, in our world today, we have so many things that are taking up our time, so many things that are bombarding us. But we still need to make the time to tell the story. That song said, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story. Do you love to hear somebody tell the story? I used to love to hear the story of how my dad got saved. I love that. I love to hear the story of how my mom got saved. Okay? I love to hear the story of how my grandson got saved. He said he got saved. He was sitting there going to the bathroom, and all of a sudden he realized he needed Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. What a place to be saved on the pot, you know? What a wonderful story. I love to hear that. You know, and it's great. It's great. Will you be willing to tell the story? Will you be willing to do it? Father, we thank you for the time you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have in this world. Father, we know that our world is dark and is getting darker as time goes on here, Lord. We understand what's going on. We understand prophecy. But in the meantime, Lord, we're still under the auspices of that great commission that Christ commanded us to do. To teach all nations, to baptize them, to be fishers of men unto the ends of the earth, because we know that you are with us. Help us, Lord, today. I don't know who's in our lives here. I know two people in my family who I've been trying to witness to for years and continue to because they don't know the Lord. There might be others in different situations here, Lord, and just give each of us the love, the desire, the determination to be able to tell that story. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this. In Christ's name, amen. Do we sing? Do we? Here he is.
Where'd you see? I apologize. The man standing in the back is doing the right thing, which I should have done in between. Forgive me, people, for not taking the offering earlier, but it's better late than never. So let's understand it's my heart that I failed. Let's bring it together. Joe, if you come forth, we'll pray for the offering.
Okay.
And thank you, Mr. Glenn Allen Hill. We appreciate the word.
If you want to sing a song, buddy, and sing the last hymn of I Love to Tell a Story.
We can do that. Are we all into that?
Last
sing
stanza.
The last stanza.
Sing last stanza of that. Oh. Same song.
I Love to Tell a Story. So let's go to Lord in prayer before we sing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you to be in your house with your people. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us. And Lord, as the church that would be a body uniformly fit together, doing the purpose that you sent us here to do. And we pray for these offerings to be put to good and perfect use, that you will look over it, bless it, and continue to work here in your name, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm thankful that we aren't bound by law. You know, the freedom and liberty that the Lord allows us to walk in and work in. You know, we're not perfect human beings, none of us. But God has an order. His order is perfect. And Lord, we bow to Him, and that's what's important. And I think about every person here today. You're here for a purpose and a reason that the Lord's placed up in your heart to be here. You know, and I like to use the understanding that whom God places in my path. You know, and when you're fishing for men, the Lord will put someone in front of you. And it's then to follow through, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading to what we're to speak. You know, and the best part is we get to share it. And if you can't share it, you're not telling it. And that's every part of your life. There's sharing in it. God gave us that gift of sharing. He shared His life with us. He gave it all. Are we giving our all? Wow. Well, I'm going to bear the page again, and I forgot the page that was on. I love to tell the story. Someone help me out again. 542. I will look at 542. I see one here on 542. I think that's close enough. There's a couple of them. I think we'll come together. How's that? We have 542? And we're looking at verse 4? All right. I'd still certainly like to have you stand. Get our lungs opened up. Our ears turned on, and our hearts open to what God has. And after the song, then I believe we'll close and just going to the break room. Alrighty? And then welcome back for Sunday school after. I think the Lord has a treat in everything if we're here to bear to listen and understand what He has prepared for us. You know, there's one thing that I don't do from the supper table. I never get up when the plate's half eaten. I always complete it. You know, that's what it's there for, to be filled. So let's go to the song on 542. I love to tell the story. And this is verse 4. I'm going to step just a little bit back so I'm not overpowering with my words. Are we ready? I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love. Thank you. The Lord is great. The Lord is gracious. Thank you for participating, each and every member. When what comes from the heart is always the best. So we appreciate the word with Mr. Glenn Allen Hill today and the sacrifices that he's made to come to share to us. And I'm sure we all have something that we can glean from it. Thank you. We're excused to go to the room. Mr. Hill, I'd like to show you a little.
Hello. See.
Hello.